My name is David Zusiman. I'm from Spacecom, and I'm very delighted to be here. I was invited by Dr. Gabor, and I thank him for that. And yesterday what was my first time in Hungary, and I enjoying your wonderful country. And what I wanted to talk about today is something new in the industry of satellite communication, the industry that I come from. And I'll start with a small video about the future of Spacecom. But in fact, this is the future of the whole industry. So pay attention.
In the year 2020, 80% of the world population is covered by AMIS satellites.
Pretty impressive. So now we go back to the present. Last year we had only two satellites, EMOS-2 and EMOS-3, two of them covering Hungary and Europe. Last year we enjoyed the coming of EMOS-5 to Africa. And this year we're gonna launch EMOS-4. EMOS-4 will be in an east orbital location and will cover Asia mostly. In 2015, which we have EMOS-6, and I'm going to talk about him later. And of course, after that, EMOS-7 and EMOS-8 will join them. And then we will cover most of the world with our satellite. And as I told you, this is not only the story of Spacecom, this is the story of the whole industry. The whole industry is expanding very, very dramatically, and we'll see that. So, this is the picture of the world communication. You probably know this. This is the picture of the fiber optics, which are planted in the oceans and connecting between countries and continents. This picture does not show the fiber optics in the countries, okay? And there are. But the story that I will tell you today tells about the lack of connectivity inside the countries, inside developing countries, in Africa or South America, or also in developed countries in Europe like Hungary, which does not have full fiber optics capability, as you probably know. So what did humanity do? Because there is no connectivity in all the places. Humanity built a complementary network, and where did we build it? In space. Okay, so this is the network that complements the huge fiber optics network that we have in the world. This, in fact, is the network of satellites. There are about 350. Communication satellite. They hover in space at an altitude of 36,000 kilometers above the equator. So each year, about 20 to 25 satellites are joining this fleet of about 350, and about 5 of them are retiring because of old age, and they are getting a boost to a higher altitude of 300 kilometers more, and they die there. This is the geostationary orbit. Okay, and how does a satellite work? Most of you probably know, but I will explain it quite simply. We have a satellite. Can I take it? No? Oh, thank you. Okay, so we have a satellite in the geostationary orbit. It moves very fast in the velocity of the Earth. So each time the beam is seeing the same place. So if you look at the sky, you see a satellite standing. But it's not standing, it's moving very fast, because if it will not move, it will fall, because of gravity, of course. Okay, so each satellite has a few beams. Let's say this is a very big beam covering a continent or more. So each and every person or terminal located in this beam can transmit to the satellite or receive from the satellite. So this is the way satellite communication satellite work. We'll see a few more examples. Regarding frequencies, normally I wouldn't talk about it, but it's important for the presentation. These are the frequencies that are allocated for communication satellite. We had an ITU presentation before, so most of the uses commercially are for C-band and Ku-band, and they are becoming less and less available because of the use of the world in these frequencies. You barely, in most areas, C and Ku are completely finished. So, as you can see, there is the Ka band, which has its disadvantages, but look at the advantages. It's a very, very large band in the receive and transmit, and because of the high frequency, it has a very high gain and very small beams. We'll see if it's good or bad in the next slide. So I was talking about the industry at the beginning. The industry worth now over $200 billion. It's expanding all the time. In the last 10 years, it's expanded more than 5% each year. Even in the bad years, like 2008, now you know what happened in 2008, and in 2011, there is a steady growth. It's a very very successful market. And why is it so much successful? Because of the requirement. There is a very big need from the users for more and more and more communication, and the fiber optics do not fulfill this task. So this is the picture. How a company, a satellite operator, which owns a satellite, looks. And I give an example of my company, Spacecom. So first, most of the companies are about 15, 20, 25 years old, and now are very established. We have a stable management. Our CEO, David Polak, who is in Hungarian, by the way, he's been the CEO for a long time. So what we have till now, you've seen Amos 2 and 3, very, very, they serve Hungary, of course. Amos 5 for Africa. And we'll be launching Amos 4 this year, new coverage areas, and Amos 6 will replace Amos 2, which is getting old, and he will bring new technologies, and I will talk about it. What else can we talk about? So a company, we can say very clearly that a company in this in this industry is if a new company want to enter this business, there is a very big barrier, because you have to have frequencies, you have to have money to build satellites, and only after you build satellite and launch them, you start to see revenues. So there aren't many companies jumping in this business, and many fail. Okay? And the growing demand, as I've told you, it's you can see it everywhere, especially in the developing countries. We have a big shareholder, Eurocom. It's like the Magyar Telekom in Hungary. A few more notes about our main customers. In you can see the variety of customers we have. You can see here HBO, major broadcaster in Hungary. He was our first customer back on Amos 1. Amos 1 had a Hungarian beam, so HBO chose us over the others. Antenna Hungaria also, HDT, which is a very major service provider in Hungary. T-Home, of course, it's a major direct-to-home television, very successful since 2008. And a few other, Ukraine, Slovak. We have other customers in West Europe, in Africa, in Middle East, and elsewhere. So this is also an example of the variety of customers a company like us may have. So, and you know that the biggest application for satellites is television. And this is very good for traditional satellite. But if you want to deliver internet, and this is the topic of my presentation, you must do it in a new way. And let me show you what's the issue here. So this is a simple graph, okay, showing the price per home in each area that you need to put in order to put fiber optics. So in urban and suburban areas, it is quite cheap. And you, if you live in main urban areas, you have high band internet. But if you or your relatives live in rural or remote areas, the price to put fiber optics up to the last house is very, the cost is astronomical. And in fact, it is not done. So what is the solution for these people? These are millions and millions or billions in the world of people in the world who does not have internet. Okay, this is socially unfair for people who live there, because they don't enjoy the digital broadband internet that we have, that those people do have. So there is a solution, and I will talk about it now. Okay, I want to talk about solution in Hungary. It's a nice story that I want to talk about how in Hungary the government solved part of the problem here. So I give you some example of a government project called the Kozhalo project. Do you know this? So this is a project for schools and public places in Hungary that does not have broadband internet. And in partnership with, again, HDT, the Hungarian service provider, we form a partnership. So Spacecom, let's see an example of how does a data provision is made. So there is a hub, let's say in Budapest. This is in fact the hub of HDT in Budapest, and it sends the signals to the satellite, in this case MOS-3, and the satellite beams back, you remember the beam? Beams back to all the terminals located wherever it needed in Hungary. And they, of course, beam back their communications back to the hub and to the internet. So in this case, Spacecom brought the bandwidth, HDT brought the network, government brought the funding, and the end users are the children of Hungary. So this is a nice example of how it can be done. So just to wrap up what we've said until now, we see a big demand of capacity in all of the world, especially in developing countries. And we can see that useful frequencies in C and Ku are becoming less available. So we, the satellite operators, must find new ways to deliver the capacity to their requirement in the areas. And we've talked about the Ka band with the high gain, small beams. Let's see what we can do about it. Okay, in with these small footprints multiplied to cover large areas, I'll show it in a moment, and the very large power, we can deliver internet in a relatively low cost through the satellite. So this is the if you were sleeping until now, this is the most important slide, so you will win if you understand this slide. HTS, this is the high throughput satellite. This is the hottest buzzword in the industry. If you meet someone in the industry and you don't know what to talk about, you say, okay, what about those HTS? And you will be able to, but you need to know what's HTS. So I'll talk about it now. So traditional footprint, you've already know, satellite, big beam, low power, and this is the traditional. What we are doing with the HTS, we are doing multiple beams from the same satellite, and smaller beams. For this kind of beam, a small beam is a disadvantage, but here we can multiply it. Okay, until now, it's okay. I don't understand why is it such a good thing. Now, we'll see what we are doing. In the traditional satellite, we have a single band. Let's say 1 gigahertz. Okay? For the HTS, we're taking this single band and we divide it, let's say, to four sectors of 250 megas. Okay, so we have four sectors. Again, I don't see the big trick here. But if we are delivering, let's say, the blue and the red and the orange and the green, these together are 1 gigahertz. If I can transmit in the other blue beam in the same frequency, reusing this frequency, I'm bringing here something new. Okay, let's see. So if I have 1 gigahertz in this band and I reuse it on another set of beams and another set of beams, multiply it, I'm reusing the frequency. So instead of 1 gigahertz, I have 2 gigahertz, 3 gigahertz, 4 gigahertz. So the more I multiply the beams and make them smaller, I'm taking the same satellite with the same power, who was bringing 1 gigahertz, same satellite can bring 5, 10, 20 gigahertz. So this is the new trick that we have. And I show you more now. So we are starting to see new satellites. They are bigger than the older one. But they look practically the same. You see here the transponders popping out, the reflectors, the feeds. Okay, it looks practically the same, but let's look at the feeds. I'm just bringing you the picture of the feeds without the cover. So this is an array of feeds, and they illuminate the reflector. And with this array of feeds, you can, through the reflector, made an array of beams on the ground. So as much as feeds you have, you can make a lot of beams on the ground. And this is the difference of the new satellites with the old ones, this technology, which is not new, but the concept is new. So I'll give you an example of how you or any other people will use it when or can use it today. So there's the satellite. It's an HTS. Now you know what is it. You can talk about it. And there I have those areas. Let's say this is Hungary. And I have the hub, which is connected to the internet. Okay? Those areas are not connected to the internet. They don't have internet. They will not have internet, broadband internet, ever, because it's too costly for the government or anyone to build them the road of the high road there. Okay, I'm searching in Google about, let's say, communications in Hungary, in YouTube, and I download from the internet, through the hub, through the satellite, down to my beam, the video that I wanted to have. And it's a nice video, so I post it in Facebook, and my friend, which is in another beam, he likes it. Okay, he likes it, and this is posted through the satellite, through the hub, to Facebook servers. Okay, let's say, and the other friend from another place, he likes it so much that he opens a Gmail software, and he send the link to another friend. Maybe this friend is over here. So at the same time, me and my friend can use the same frequency. And this is lowering down the cost per bit of the transmission for everyone. Okay? And let's see an example in Europe. Okay? In Europe, look at the figures. In Europe, there are 30 million households that have less than 2 megs per second broadband. They don't. Maybe they want to pay for 10 or 15 or 20, but they can't because there is no one to give them. 30 million of them have dial-up internet. Do you remember it? What's dial-up internet? It's old history, and a lot of people. Maybe some of them are one of you or your relatives who live elsewhere. Have dial-up internet, so YouTube is a legend for them. They don't, and if they want to read in Wikipedia, the page is getting very very slow. This is not way to be in our society. So here's an example of something that was done. They built a satellite, and they cover all Europe in 80 beams. So again. Each and every blue or each and every orange have the same frequency all over again. So this is a nice solution, not so robust, but it's a nice solution. It's one of the kind. So we are in a threshold of an era where we don't have just those traditional KU satellite that will continue to serve television. They are very good for television because they cover a lot of land, and if some cable operator want to uplink a channel, he uplinks from a hub somewhere, and he can downlink for in the entire continent. If you have Hungarians walking in Spain or in England or in Ukraine, they can enjoy Hungarian content coming from the motherland. But the new, not so new, the almost new, have a much more capacity, about 10 to 20, doubling the frequency. And the satellite that you've just seen, the 80 beams one, the crazy one, it's not so crazy. It's happening. It can double the frequency 35 times. So it's a real game changer from my understanding. So it will enable everyone to be connected to the internet. Those new kind of satellites will enable everyone to have broadband if he wants it. And we are doing this as well in our next satellite, MO6. It will have the same KU over Europe and the Middle East, but it also will have KA in Africa, because Africa is starving for broadband. And also in Europe, we're building beams for our native lands, especially, of course, I just put a red over the Hungarian beam. So we have an Hungarian beam on MO6, and this will allow service providers to give from KU in KA triple play, quadruple play from this kind of satellite. Another very nice example of what can be done. What is the longest time a businessman is without internet? Not when he's sleeping, but when he's traveling, okay? So today, when a person travels, he does not have internet, and sometimes it is crucial for his work. So if we want to give internet with the concept that we just seen, we need to see where the airplanes are hovering above the oceans. And we can see that it's a very, very big area. And there are satellites today that have these big, big beams. But it's a very low power beam. It's not a broadband. It's a dial-up internet or something like that. But in this new concept, we can put a lot of beams through the oceans and back. And we can, by this concept, provide internet for everyone who's in the plane. Okay, and this is also been done today. So you will enjoy it in a few years when those satellites will be launched. So before I end, I will summarize. So you see that this business of communication satellites are very big. They're expanding very very rapidly. There is lack of broadband internet in a lot of locations for most of humanity. With the few available frequencies and the Ka band, which has a very high gain, very low beam, we are ushering a new business of broadband delivery. So, and it will enable low cost for everyone. And just to summarize, this is our latest achievement, AMOS-4. This is the first time this picture is being brought to the public. So you are the first people to enjoy it in the world. AMOS-4 is a very high-end satellite. It will have 10 10 antennas. All of them are steerable. KU, KA, also some multi-beam availability. And it will launch in August. Yes? It will August. And but you will not enjoy it because it will be in east above the Indian Ocean, 65 east. But we will broadcast the launch and you will be able to watch it. And here's another, and here's the launch. This is the launch of Amos 5, which was in December 2011 on a Proton from Baikonur in Kazakhstan. This is the launch. Very big satellite. Very big launcher, taking two satellites all the way to the geostationary orbit. In the first 2 minutes, about 300 tons of propellant is being burned to propel this launcher to the sky. So in a very, very, after a few seconds, as you can see, is disappearing. And you can hardly see, and therefore I brought another animation. So this is what we've just seen of the Proton launcher taking Amos 5 and another Russian satellite, Luch. You see here the first stage after the propellant have been finished. He's jettisoning the stage because you don't want to carry the empty weight. And the second stage is walking another 5 minutes. After 5 or 6 minutes, the whole thing is in space. So the fairing can be jettisoned and the satellite is seeing space. Stage two finished the job. Now stage three, this is stage three. See him start to walk. This is a space taxi because it takes the satellite all the way to the final location. So we've seen just Luch being jettisoned to his location, and now the other traveler is being jettisoned. And from that point, the satellite is independent. It's opening the solar panels. Because the satellite is working 15 years without energy, only from the sun. You see here the antennas being deployed. He have four antennas, one C and three in KU. And now he's searching the Earth to start transmission. You can see here the solar panels are all the time facing the sun to see to take the energy from the sun, and now we can see the satellite ready to work. And this completes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What about short questions?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your presentation. I think not occasionally invited you, the university, to this very important event. So I would like to mention that David Polak has Hungarian roots, but a very close connection with Hungary. So it means Hungary and especially national media and info communication authorities working closely with the Spacecom. Why? Because Hungary is the notifying administration of Amos satellite network in ITU, in the planned band, in the KU planned band. And just our engineers are working to enlarge the coverage area of Amos, and we started a new procedure in ITU, and we got a very close connection with your own engineers to be successful in this field. Another hand, in the Közhálo program, we've got a free of charge capacity from the Spacecom to this program. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next question.
A short question only. My name is Grad from the Hungarian Authority. So the question is, your company, the Swisscom, is a satellite service provider, but who is the manufacturer of the satellite? Thank you.
So for most of our satellites, until today, the manufacturer was the Israeli Aerospace Industries. For MOS-5, the manufacturer was ISS, a Russian manufacturer. For MOS-6, we've done a bid for a few satellite manufacturers, Thales, Astrium, ISS also, IAI, and L'Oréal. And in the end, the IAI was winning as well. And we will do a bid for every satellite that we'll do, and the winner is the best bidder. So we are a public company, so we should do a normal bid for the manufacturer. Any more questions? I'm here today.